Today on Real Life Radio.
In Christ, those things are washed away. Not because we're lucky, but because God is faithful. And we go to him in that moment's time. Oh, God, please forgive me, Lord. That is wrong for me to think that thought. And the Lord comes in and brings us peace and forgiveness in that instant. And the people around you didn't have a clue what was going on in your wretched mind.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter with a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1. Now, in these final verses, Peter is filled with emotion. His parting words are spoken without compromise, and yet they come from the heart of a shepherd. Peter's unwavering love for the church is an expression of his faith in Jesus Christ. So, sharing what lies ahead for the world and what's in store for the true believer in Jesus Christ has become his passion and his focus. There is so much from Peter for us to take in, but like a father to his children, Peter offers his last bit of guidance and wisdom to the church. He writes this letter to encourage Christians, especially those who are scattered by persecution, to keep growing in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, not just learning about him, but knowing him in a very personal way. Instead of indulging in sin like false teachers would suggest, we are to set aside sin so that we can live in peace with the Savior. So, in this part of today's message, Pastor Jack reminds us to greet each day with gratitude towards the Lord. He is our reason for living and our motivation to keep going no matter what comes our way. Peter's joy comes from a thankful heart, knowing that he wasn't perfect but forgiven. And now, in his message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Devoted, found by him in peace. This word peace is you're no longer resisting God. You're no longer kicking against God. This is a wonderful word. It implies that we absolutely now surrender to the will of God. We've talked about that before. And look at else what he says. Without spot and blameless. How does that make you feel? So wait a minute. How in the world does someone like me be found by Jesus without spot and blameless? Do we not have spots? You know what's great, by the way? Last week, before I had this procedure done, I could see kind of okay. And I could look at the mirror and I could see all my spots. You know those spots, anybody? Somebody's 20 years old, they don't know what I'm talking about. But you know, you spend your lifetime out in the sun, and then when you get older, all that is stored up inside of you, and then it decides to come out. So you get these sunspot things and all this stuff, and you look, and then you go closer, and then don't ever do this, but you get one of those magnifying mirrors 50 times. 50 times, and you look, and your face looks like the Grand Canyon. What is that? You got hair coming out of places you never knew. I didn't see that before. Well, it's a funny thing right now. It's pretty tragic, but it's an illustration. Because my vision close is so messed up, I look in the mirror, I look awesome. I don't even need to take a shower today. So how in the world can I be without spot and blameless? Well, when my eyesight's bad. Because listen, the closer you get to Jesus, guess what? You'll see the Grand Canyon. The closer you get to Jesus, you'll see all of your spots. Peter's not playing with our emotions here. This is one of those contradictory statements. Not that it's not true. It is true, but it contradicts, but only Christ can unpack it. So are you telling me that before I'm a Christian, I feel pretty good about myself? Yep. Before I'm a Christian, I think I'm pretty good? Oh, yeah. And then I become a Christian, and I see that I am a spotted mess? Uh-huh. And that I can be blamed for things? Oh, yeah. That awakening not only drives you to Christ, the reality of the fact that I love what Dr. Harry Ironside wrote so many years ago, the reality and the truth of that in your life on a day-to-day basis to the end, listen up, knowing that you are a wretch according to the standard of God, knowing that you have spots, knowing that you are not blameless in the flesh, doesn't give you an excuse to sin, by no means. What it does do is that it keeps you coming back to Christ in a perpetual manner. That's called sanctification, and it works all the way through till you breathe your last breath. Are you with me?
Yes.
It's so precious. It's the Christian experience. So I got saved last week. Well, that's great. I hope you've grown some since last week. More on that in a moment. Are we devoted? And as we see ourselves, you know what? Cheer up, everybody. Paul the Apostle, at the end of his life, said about himself, I'm going to let that sink in. Paul the Apostle, if you and I, which we are not supposed to do, but if you and I set our standard to live our life to be like Paul the Apostle, you know, we're not supposed to do that. We're supposed to set our sights to be like Jesus, right?
Yes.
But let's be honest. Don't you respect Paul?
Yes.
It's pretty amazing when even secular researchers of the world respect Paul. The guy's a genius. By the way, did you know that? This side note. Did you know that Paul the Apostle's argumentation from the book of Romans, did you know that study in many law schools? Did you know that? In secular law schools, Paul the Apostle's argument of the book of Romans, most specifically chapters 7 and 8, are studied by law students on how to present an argument and defend it. He's one of the most brilliant orators that the world has ever seen, and certainly the most famous convert to Christianity. And at the end of his life, he said that in him, that his life, that he's the chief of sinners. So what does that mean? Does that mean he murdered people? No. Does that mean he cussed? No. Does that mean he was out getting drunk after? No. It means that he saw himself in the eyes of God. And when you draw close to Jesus, you see the motives and the thoughts that are inside your head and heart. Wake up, everybody. Imagine if for a moment God would project just this section, your thoughts, on the screen right now. Forget the section. Let's just pick on the front row right here. Can you imagine? Thoughts, boop, everything in Technicolor. What you're thinking? What did you think the last hour? Boop, on the screen. Who sees it? Thank God, only God. But God sees it. And in Christ, those things are washed away. Not because we're lucky, but because God is faithful and we go to him in that moment's time. Oh God, please forgive me, Lord. That is wrong for me to think that thought. And the Lord comes in and brings us peace and forgiveness in that instant. And the people around you didn't have a clue what was going on in your wretched mind to entertain it, to play with it. That's another story. Devotion. We're to be devoted to God. Devotion. The word diligent here means, as what you can probably think, make every effort to strengthen your faith and to follow Jesus and to remind yourself of these things. And to be thankful of the fact that when we do talk about without spot, it means that God has removed the stains. It's Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Write it down. It's not on the screens. Though your sins be like scarlet. Remember that? He says, I will make them as white as wool. If you're and your sins like crimson, I'll make them as white as snow. God does that. We should be devoted. Church, we should be devoted to him for that. How devoted can we be? I think that's an impossible answer. But what is... what is a stain anyway? To wash away our stains? What is a stain? Yeah, a stain is when something, right, gets on something else. The whole thing is, I don't want that to happen, right? You buy a new shirt, and you, like a knucklehead like I did, you buy a new shirt, somebody drops off some pomegranates at your house, and I tried to open a pomegranate, and then my shirt wore the pomegranate, instant stain. You're not, it's not going to come out. Here's the thing. That's a bad thing. So think about that regarding the sin in our lives. It's a bad thing. Here's the amazing thing now about you being a Christian. You agree with God now. It's a bad thing. Oh, but Is there ever the case of a stain being a good thing? Yeah. When you dye something, what are you doing with that? See, we call it, I have to dye my shirt. Well, it sounds so willful. It sounds so intentional. And it is. I'm gonna dye my shirt red. That's a way different thing than my shirt got stained red. A stain is what you don't want. A dye is what you do want. Isn't it amazing that the Bible teaches us that we have been washed, dipped, covered, immersed in the blood of Christ? Think of it. That warrants our devotion. Thirdly, please keep your faith alive, Peter would say, before I let you go. Keep your faith alive with endurance. Verse 15, with endurance. And consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. What does that mean? Simply this, God hasn't come back yet because he wants others to be saved. By the way, he knows exactly who they are. This freaks me out. He knows exactly who they are. You don't, I don't, and we're not going to know. But according to the Bible, God knows exactly, listen to this, he not only knows exactly who they are, he knows exactly who the last person is before he gets on with the next prophetic event. Did you know that? Book of Romans calls it the fullness of the Gentiles. The Bible tells us that God has pressed or paused the button regarding Israel. He's been working for 2,000 years predominantly, not exclusively, but predominantly with the Gentiles in the world today through the church. There's going to come a day when Paul says in Romans that the fullness of the Gentiles is complete. Man, wouldn't you love to be at that service where just raise your hand now or pray this prayer or come, whatever the thing is. Maybe it's probably going to be some guy in a hotel room reading the Gideon Bible. The guy's just going to fall on his knees and say, Jesus, save me. And can you imagine the meter? That's the guy. Boop, we're up out of here. Fullness of the Gentiles is complete. God then now starts to stopwatch and focuses on Israel. It's known as the 7-year tribulation period. Wow, could you imagine? Endurance. Consider that the long-suffering of the Lord is salvation. Yes, we want Jesus to come back. Every true Christian does because the Holy Spirit inside longs for him to return. Yet at the same time, are we not torn? Are we not torn that our mom hasn't been saved or our child hasn't been saved or our neighbor or whoever? You know what I'm saying? We want Christ to come back now. Yes. But our conflict is, but my family, but my friend. You make sure, you and I, in our devotion and in our anticipation, let's make sure that we tell them and leave the outcome to God. Got to remember that. Endurance. Number two in our study together. We'll go as far as we can. Number two, before I let you go, verses 15 to 16, is to know his love. I am skeptical over this second argument, to know his love. Because you know what? As soon as I say this, I'm afraid that you'll do what I did for 3 years of my Christian experience. To know his love. This is what happened. When I heard about God's love for me, so strange. When I was a brand new believer, I didn't understand love. I didn't know love, humanly speaking, and I had a really hard time believing that God would love me. By the way, you know what? People talk about this. There's some research done on this. But women have a tendency to very quickly draw close to the concept and the relationship of God over men. Did you know that? Women gravitate to an intimacy with God that is supernaturally natural to them. Men have a hard time. First of all, let's be honest. The Bible calls the believer the bride of Christ. For a guy, it's like, what? The Bible talks about these. In fact, no. In my opinion, this sounds crazy, but my opinion, I would love to have a relationship with God like David had with God. Because David, in the Old Testament, seemed to have such a born-again relationship with God. It's amazing to think. So did Abraham. Of course, the New Testament saints did and do today. But what an amazing thing when the Bible says God loves you. And because I feel ornery today, and I'm picking on a lot of people, let's talk about the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons and the Muslims and the Jews. There's a lot of Jews who watch this broadcast. Did you know that? They're curious. Let me tell you something. If you're a Muslim today, You read your Quran. You can't find the word love in your Quran once. The God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. It's a different God. Never once does he tell the Muslim he loves them. Never once does he tell the Muslim, I'm going to lay down my life for you. I love you so much that I'm going to be your sacrifice. No, they're taught and they're told that they have to be the sacrifice. Is your God so big that he can die for you? All the cults are like this. It's all effort-based. Great devotion, great endurance, great anticipation, all founded upon a cracked foundation. That should break our hearts. Why? Because it's not rooted in knowing the love of God. Look at verses 15 and 16 continues, and this is so fun. And just can you write this down, please? It really comes down to practicing intimacy with God. That's the answer. Peter says something so cool. By the way, this is a parenthetical insert. He's teaching, imagine, or he's writing in this case. He's writing, or he's preaching. And then he stops and says, oh, by the way, let me tell you something. This is what he says. As also our brother, beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, Peter would go, and that was some wisdom, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things. So Peter is saying, everybody grab this. Peter is saying, the Holy Spirit speaking through me, Peter, to you, also spoke the same thing through the Apostle Paul. All of it, you will see, will be scripture. Now, you and I have it in our lap today. He goes on to say, in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand. That gives me great confidence and encouragement. Peter says, man, Paul, when I read Paul's letters, whoo, man, they're hard to understand. Doesn't that make you feel good? It's like, I got to meditate on that. That's the whole point. Deep stuff. And this is a big deal coming from Peter, mind you. Do you guys remember? Are you guys okay?
Yeah.
Do you guys remember when Peter was preaching and he didn't know what to do when there were Gentiles and Jews listening to the sermon? And he panicked, and Peter preached that the born again Gentiles need to also be circumcised, and they need to keep elements of the law, and Paul heard about it. And so Paul shows up, and the scene had to be amazing. Paul shows up, and when he did, Peter was with Gentiles talking to them. They might have been eating a pork chop, we don't know. But he's talking to the Gentiles, and somebody says, Paul's coming. The plate goes flying. He trips over the pork rinds. He stumbles over the... And he runs over to where the Jewish believers are at. And Paul shows up. And Paul goes, hey, I heard you have a problem with these guys over here, Peter. And he held him to account right on the spot in front of everybody. He rebuked him publicly. Peter was rebuked by Paul publicly. You know what's awesome about that? Here's a humble man. Yeah, that Paul writing things that's hard to understand, he kind of drove me crazy. I don't know if all that stuff's true or not about what Paul wrote. He didn't say that. This man was rebuked by Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as believers are to do one another in love. And here's Peter at the end of his life complimenting Paul in his ministry life. What a beautiful thing that is. How does this happen? Intimacy. Before I let you go, he would say to us, you need to know the love of God, and you need to do that by practicing intimacy with God. Church family, listen up. This is a big deal. There's no substitute for a sloppy Christian life. There's no substitutes for a sloppy relationship with God. The very one who can do everything for you and has done everything to get you into heaven, and he's with you to the end, there is no excuse for us to be haphazard about God. You know what? This or that, you know, we need to make him a priority. We need to do something about that. Listen, we need to do something about that. As soon as I say that, you might say, yes, yes, Pastor, will you call us at 4 o'clock in the morning? Call us. We'll all wake up. I could. We could all get on a social media kind of a thing, right? We all wake up at four. Listen. I pray this is not true. Some of us in this room might say, that's it. Call me tomorrow. I don't know how to articulate this. It would be wrong. Did you know that? It would be wrong. You say, don't you believe in accountability? Accountability to God, yeah? Mm-hmm, absolutely. Don't you believe in accountability to men? Don't worry about it. My life is lived so publicly. Everybody knows where I'm at all the time, and everybody knows where I live. So accountability, I'm there. Everybody's got the passcode to my computers and my phone. The staff, when I open up my computer, the young, brilliant people of the staff, they can view my screen anytime they want. I got accountability galore. Guess what? They have that accountability opportunity, so to speak, for technical reasons. Never did I say, I need you guys to have the password to everything I have to keep me off of porn. I never said that. Oh, yeah, you, listen, Lisa, here's the code to my phone and my computer so you don't know if I'm talking to any girls on the side. That's not it. It's for, you know why my grandkids have the passcode to my phone? So they can play Mario. Think of it. Listen, if people don't have access to your phone, why not? If people don't have access to your computer, why not? But they can't be your motive. Can't be your practice that's acceptable to God. I hope all of you get this. Maybe a few of you will. I don't know. It's up to God. It's got to be intimacy. It's this. I can tell men in a men's conference until the cows come home, be accountable to your friends, share your password. And you know what? Those are mechanical practices. Intimacy.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called Before I Let You Go, Part 1. Thanks for joining us today. Before I Let You Go, Part 1, is part of Pastor Jack's series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. It's a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, hard work and determination really does have its rewards, but there's nothing that compares with our inheritance in eternity. Eternal life in heaven isn't something we earn, but it's a gift from God when we surrender our lives to Him. Peter understood this, and it's why he reminded us again and again that our Christian walk is about having a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's not about duty. So, what does it mean to live in real life? Well, the best way to have a relationship, it's with your time, a quiet period to meditate on Scripture, and through a devotional time of conversing with the Lord. But if you're not sure what that looks like, we'd like to help. Simply go to our website, that's jackhibbs.com, and click on that tab labeled Devotions. Once you're there, you'll find weekly devotions personally written by Pastor Jack and inspired by some of his favorite verses. There are also previous devotions for daily reflection. So head on over to jackhibbs.com and discover devotions for yourself. That's jackhibbs.com. Or if you'd like, you can download the Real Life mobile app for on-the-go inspiration. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.